The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. You were created to be more than you are now, to love more than you love now, and to live a life that's fully alive. Take a few minutes and join Pastor Ronnie Phillips for a message of grace that will help you live fully alive.
When we were little, we dreamed about being a hero. But most of us don't see ourselves as heroic now. The mundane and everyday world has drained our enthusiasm and the dream to be something extraordinary. But if you know God, there is a superhero on the inside of you. Aren't you ready to activate your hero within and be all that you were created to be? It's time to wake that dream inside of you. It's time to reclaim the supernatural. It's time to let the hero shape you into the person you were created to be. Order The Hero Within by Pastor Ronnie Phillips at theherowithinbook.com.
Greetings, partners and friends. This is Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Abba's House and founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. I want to invite you to watch week two of our new series, Rechurch. What does it mean to rechurch? It means to do it again. We're trying to revisit the early church and give you some principles that will help you reconnect with Christ and His church. You know, in the New Testament, you couldn't connect with Christ without connecting with His body, the local church. And I believe that we need to go to church together. We need to worship together again. Our children need to be in church. So I want to challenge you to watch this message today about a church that endures. What is an enduring church? I believe that there is going to be a church that survives and that's going to be here when Jesus comes back. And I want to tell you what that church ought to look like. I hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
This morning, because I don't have time to preach all of them to you, we're going to focus on the enduring church, the church that will endure, the church that will be standing when Jesus Christ comes back. And that is the church at Philadelphia. This is the faithful church that endures, the church that chooses restoration over religion. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David." Everybody say David. "What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See how I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan," everybody say haters, "I will make your haters, though they are liars, come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon, saith the Lord. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown." Heavenly Father, anoint this word today. Anoint our time of fellowship today. May your name be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at the church at Philadelphia, these churches were prophetic pictures of the future. And this one church, according to the word of God, will be standing when Jesus comes back for his church. The church of brotherly love. The church that knows how to love God and love others. Amen. Such a simple concept, but we mess this one concept up on a regular basis. Love our neighbors. Love our Savior. Love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. When someone comes to God or is caught in a struggle, the church ought to be the place where they can find love, not judgment. When someone's addicted or broken or busted or disgusted, the church ought to be a place where they can find love. If they can't find love anywhere else on planet Earth, the church, God's church, ought to be a place where they can find love. Somebody say we got to love one another. The early church focused on Christ. They were together. They were committed to the call. But a church that endures, that's going to be standing when Jesus comes back, must have some characteristics of their own. Some characteristics of the church of Philadelphia. What was one of those characteristics? Well, it was worship. A church that endures, number one, is a church that adores. The word adoration means deep love and respect. A church that will endure is a church that knows how to worship. It says in our text that they have the key of David. The key of David. Well, what is the key of David? Well, to understand the key of David, you have to understand the life of David. You have to understand who he was and what he did. We must honor the name of Jesus Christ in the church. We must worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter whether we're in the sanctuary or in the field or in a fight. We ought to give praise to the one that saved our souls, that loves us. His name is Jesus, Yeshua. He still saves. He still heals. He still speaks. He still moves. He still can do what only his word says he can do. I'm telling you, he saved my soul. But notice in the text, it says, for those that have a little strength. See, this seems demeaning, but it's a veiled reference to King David. David was never considered much in his life. He was small. He was the offspring of one of Jesse's girlfriends. We might call him the B word or an orphan to clean it up. He was considered less than. He was considered weird looking. He didn't look like his brothers. They were dark skinned and handsome, and he was white and red headed and weird looking. His father was ashamed of him, but he found a father that approved of him. His name was God, Abba, our Father. The word says, in sin did my mother conceive me. His mother was a loose woman. So he did the work of a shepherd, hidden work. Never underestimate the power of being hidden for a season. Never underestimate the power of the field. Never underestimate not getting the credit. Never underestimate not getting invited to the party. Never underestimate not being welcome in certain circles. Sometimes God sets you apart for a season to promote you later. And if you'll learn to worship him in the field, God will promote you. He did the work of a shepherd. As I said, he didn't look like the current culture. He was different, but God used him. He had a little strength, but with that little strength, he defeated Goliath and became king. And God used him, and he had an anointing. It was the little strength guy. You might feel like you don't have a whole lot of strength this morning, but I'm telling you, God will use what you have to get the work done. Amen. You may not look like everybody else. You may not be accepted, but God will use you if you'll focus on intimacy and worship in the secret place. He had a key. He worshiped his way into God's heart. A church that endures is a church that adores. It's a church that knows how to worship God through the good times and the bad. I love when it says the devil's crowd will know that I've loved you. You know, there's nothing like spending a season in the field and receiving promotion and then, you know, having a table prepared in the presence of your enemies. There's nothing like being faithful over a few things and then seeing God shift your destiny in front of those who hate you, in front of those who don't like you, in front of those who want you to fail. How many of you ever felt like you had people wanting you to fail? You had people pulling for you to fail. Oh, I'm telling you, you serve a hero within named Jesus that'll keep you from falling and keep you from failing, and he'll hold your arms when you can't hold them up. That is the key of David, knowing how to worship. The tabernacle of David was excellence in worship. It had all the instruments. It had all the voices. It was choreography. It was dance. It was beautiful. And as he became king and led, the tabernacle of David released a beautiful sound that included everybody. And so don't ever mistake sound for excellence. There is an excellence, whether it's one person with a guitar or a choir or an orchestra. There is a level of excellence that God requires of his church. And no matter what you have or what you don't have, small church, big church, no church, basement, if there is a spirit of excellence there, God will honor it. Spirit of excellence. So it's a church that adores. An enduring church is a church that adores. Also, it is a church that restores. A church that restores. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, sin means to miss the mark. Trespass is to cross the line. Transgress is to offend God. And iniquity is to be eaten up with so much sin that you become demonic. And so when it says, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, this isn't just to sin, because we all sin. At least I do. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all struggle with missing the mark. But this takes it a step further. This isn't just to miss the mark. This is to cross the line and be overtaken after you've crossed the line. So you've stepped into something you don't know how to control or how to quit. Now shame comes. You've been embarrassed. But suddenly, you get restored. It says, when people are caught in a trespass, we who are spiritual, everybody say the church, should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Not judgmentalism, not hatred, not Kanye's not for real, he's going to fall, I don't believe him. That's not what a true church does. I don't care if it's Kanye or Kim or Jim. If God touches them, we ought to be for that person. A spirit of gentleness. We ought to be gentle with one another, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The word restore in the Greek is the word for mending a net. It's a careful and strategic process to mend a net. When you restore someone back to fellowship, there are steps we must take. First, we must use truth, because the truth will set you free. And once we've given the truth, a person must be willing to admit what they've done and repent. And then they should be welcomed back to the family, and we shouldn't hold what they did against them. I'm dreaming of a church that adores and a church that restores. I believe with all of my heart that God has called us to be a church that adores and a church that restores. I believe there is an anointing for a church that's willing to reach out in the name of grace and reach everybody. Next, not only a church that restores, but a church that ignores. A church that ignores. What should we ignore as a church? Well, I want us to take some advice from a sinful woman in Luke 7. When one of the Pharisees, Luke 7, beginning with verse 36, invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Let me first say that a Pharisee is a religious person who pretends they want Jesus in the house, but really they don't want Jesus in the house. They want a picture of Jesus, but not the full manifestation of Jesus. Simon the Pharisee in this story, I believe, is a picture of the modern day pastor. Knows everything, judges everybody, but reaches no one. Knows everything, judges everybody, but reaches no one. I'm sure you've seen it on social media. I have. And it is that Kanye West brought more people into the kingdom of God than John MacArthur, the intellectualist that knows everything but divides the kingdom, that denies the power of the Holy Spirit, is sexist towards women, and this is who people choose to follow. Religiosity. What a Pharisee. A church that ignores. A woman in that town, the text says, if we have the verses, we can put them on the screen, who lived a sinful life. Many believe it was the life of a prostitute. She learned that Jesus was coming to the house of Simon. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Somebody say adoration. She didn't have much, but she gave everything she had. She wanted a new start. She longed for a new day. She was hungry for more than the world. She was hungry and she was thirsty. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner, a dirty sinner. Used to sing Gold Digger. Dirty sinner. Know what kind of woman she is. The problem with a Pharisee or a religious person is they can always point out what's wrong with you, but they never see what's wrong with them. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. He said two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of them both. Now, Simon, which one do you think had the bigger debt forgiven? He said, well, I suppose the one who had the most money forgiven off the debt. Jesus said, you have judged correctly. Then he turned to the woman and he looked back at Simon. He said, do you see this woman? He said, I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. You didn't welcome me. There are a lot of churches that don't welcome Jesus. There are a lot of churches that don't welcome the Spirit of Jesus. They don't honor him properly or worship him passionately when he gets there. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be worshiped. He is worthy of our praise. But when Jesus enters into a religious house, he doesn't receive proper adoration. But it won't stop him from restoration. If he can find a sinner that's willing to come forward, and he found a woman who was willing to make her way to his feet. I don't know what you've been through this morning, and I frankly don't care because we've all been through mess. But if you'll find your way to the feet of Jesus with everything you've got, he'll change your life. He'll change your life. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you fully. He'll change you completely. And he will be with you forevermore. But you must embrace this Jesus. She said, you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, which was customary for a guest that entered a home. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing me. The word worship in the Greek, proskuneo, means to kiss toward. This woman is worshiping Jesus. It's an intimacy that's required of all of God's children. He was unwilling to do it, the Pharisee, but the sinner was willing to worship the Savior. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured her best on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. But he said to her, your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I'm telling you, we must be a church that restores. But we must be a church that ignores. What do we ignore, Pastor Ronnie? We need to ignore the cultural pressures of our time. We need to ignore critics and haters. We need to ignore the experts. The experts have written all the books and commentaries, but their churches are dying and their preaching is passionless. We need to ignore the experts, ignore the cultural pressures to be like everybody else, to do what every other church is doing, to look like everybody else. We've got to ignore this woman, this sinful woman, had to walk past the courtyard at Simon's house with all the Pharisees and all the leaders and all the rich people, and she had to walk past them into the house to make it to the feet of Jesus. She had to overcome religious stares. She had to overcome being judged, but nothing was going to stop her from the feet of Jesus, from getting to the feet of Jesus. Whenever you get to that place in your life where nothing can stop you from getting to his feet, you have arrived, my friend. You have found the key of David. You have found what matters in this life and what endures until he comes back. You have found intimacy with an almighty, never-changing God who fulfilled every promise through his son, Jesus Christ, who loves you, who died for you, who longs to give you eternal life, but more than that, wants to fill you with his spirit and use you as an ambassador on this earth. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ignore cultural phenomenons, critics, experts, know-it-alls. Listen, if they knew everything, what they were doing would be working. And it's not. So we have got to be willing to do things different. Willing to love, not like the world loves, but like Jesus loves. Adoration, restoration. We've got to be willing to ignore the critics. But yes, it's not only a church that ignores. It's a church with open doors. It's a church with open doors. You know, God shows no partiality. God loves all people. Red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor. He loves people in Kenya. He loves people in the Dominican Republic. He loves people that we don't agree with. He loves the whole world. He's not American. He doesn't salute the flag. He loves people from every nation, every tongue. He is my Savior who saved my soul, who fills me up, who blesses me, who comforts me, who guides me, who leads me, who still speaks. He still speaks. Are you listening this morning? The voice will impress upon your heart to be saved if you don't know Jesus, if you're not guaranteed for heaven. It'll impress upon your heart to change your life so that you can make a difference. It'll cause you to forgive that person that hurt you. It'll cause you to stop hating your brother, stop fighting. It'll cause you to worship when you don't feel like worshiping. It'll cause you to give when you maybe don't want to give. You know, I pray that no matter what you have to go through in this life, I pray that you have a midnight experience where you are broke, but all you have you're willing to give to Jesus. Some of you don't want to go through the pain that it takes to get there, but I've been there. And I'm thankful because if I would have never been at the bottom, I couldn't have found the feet of Jesus. And sometimes you got to get to the bottom if you're going to worship him. You got to be willing to give everything if God's going to truly do a work in your life. Romans 13 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you can quote the law, but you don't have love, you've missed the gospel. You have to be able to love. Romans 15 says, we are to receive one another, just as Christ also received us. Our text says, I've set before you an open door. So when the church that endures is still standing, there's an open portal to heaven. So a church needs to have an open portal now. An open door to heaven where miracles happen, where God still speaks, where God does something. But also a church's doors must be open to all people, to sinners. You know, I've had people say, would you let a this person or a that person come to your church? I said, yeah, sure. They'll fit in. I'm looking at a bunch of sinners anyways. What's one more? You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Paul would say there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. I long for a church with open doors, open hearts, open minds, an open Bible that doesn't compromise the truth. It's willing to worship, that holds the key of David. It's willing to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I believe there is a church that endures, that will endure, but we have to walk the way Jesus walked, and we have to do what Jesus said to do.
John on the island of Patmos saw an open heaven, and he saw an open door. You know what? I believe with all of my heart that a church ought to also have open doors. The doors ought to be open to everybody, no matter where you've been or whatever you've done. You ought to be welcome in church. But you know, also, you need to have an open heart to Jesus. You know, maybe Jesus is speaking to you right now, and you're convicted of the way you've been living or your past, and you want to be right with God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer from the book of Romans that will help you have peace with God. You know, it's not about how good you are, it's about how good God is. So just pray with me right now if you need Jesus in your life. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus. That's right, Dear Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, you were born again. You've rededicated your life. You've reconnected with Christ. Now you need to reconnect with this church. So no matter where you are, we pray that you would visit a church this week. Connect with other believers. We believe God will use that to grow you in every way. We'll see you next time.
What is church to you?
I think a community of believers is the first thing I think of.
Love, faith, and like a happy environment.
I don't even necessarily think of a building.
Everything that's important to me.
If you're ready to start the new year with a new outlook, it's time to give church a chance. Learn what the Bible says a church should be in Pastor Ronnie Phillips' four-part series, Re-Church. Get it today on CD, DVD, or digital download. Order online at ronniephillips.org or call 1-800-877-6493. Discover the strength and community you'll find in a group of believers. It's time to Re-Church.
Pastor Ronnie Phillips delivers help and hope around the world through missions, media, and the message of grace. Go online to ronniephillips.org to partner with Pastor Ronnie today and join us again next week for another message that will help you live free and fully alive.